Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Valela Sanchez filed for Precinct 3 Commissioner's seat. Two Midland County residents have filed for the Precinct 3 seat on the Midland County Commissioner's Court, and that includes the first reported Democrat to have filed for the primary ballot. Stefan Valela has filed to run for the Republican Party nomination, while current seat holder Luis Sanchez has filed for the Democratic Party nomination. Sanchez is the first Democrat reported to have filed for the March 5th primary election. Valela is at least the 10th Republican. The reporter telegram shows at least 11 candidates have filed for seats. They include David Kreiner and Justin Painter for sheriff. Rory McKinney has also announced his intention to run for sheriff. Charles Hall and Terry Luck for Precinct 1 County Commissioner. Glenn Harwood for District Attorney. David Rogers for Judge of the 142 District Court. Jamie Hall, Precinct 4 Constable. Douglas Brown, Precinct 2 Constable. Mary Helen Bowers, Tax Assessor slash Collector. The filing period continues through December 11th. Life Tributes, Billy Lou Whiteside. 10/23/1928 to 11/13/2023. Billy Lou Whiteside, age 95, passed away peacefully on Monday, November 13, 2023, at Scarborough Cottage, Manor Park in Midland, Texas. She was born October 23, 1928, in Goldthwaite, Texas, to Ralph and Margaret Goodwin. She is survived by her children, Lynette Kingsbury of Lubbock, Texas, Steve Whiteside and wife Julie of Midland, David Whiteside and wife Sydney of Hallsville, Texas, six grandchildren, and seven great-grandchildren. Billy is preceded in death by her husband Ray and daughter Brenda Roki. A private graveside service was held for the family. In lieu of flowers, please make a donation in Billy's honor to a charity of your choice. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Robert Chandler Bob Bledsoe, 8/23/1930 to 11/15/2023. Robert Chandler Bob Bledsoe was born in El Paso, since it had a hospital, right in the middle of the Depression on 8/23/30 to Robert Irvine Bledsoe and Lola Bunton Bledsoe. Bob is survived by his wife of almost 40 years, Benny Bledsoe. He is also survived by the five children and their spouses mentioned above, as well as 12 grandchildren and 14 great-grandchildren so far. His memorial service will be held at Christ Church Anglican, 5501 North Midkiff Road, Midland, Texas, 79705, on Tuesday, November 21st at 11 a.m. Reception at the church will follow. The service will be live-streamed on Christ Church Anglican's Facebook page, https://www.facebook.com/Christ Church Anglican. His remains will be interred at the Christ Church Columbarium sometime in the future. Memorials may be given to Christ Church Anglican, Visiting Angels, Interim Healthcare, Hospice, or a ministry of choice. Bob married Evelyn Louise McWhorter in 1951. They had four children, Robert Bledsoe Jr., who, with his wife Christy, live in Trophy Club, Texas, Beverly Haight, who, with her husband Vic, live in Nampa, Idaho, Billy Bledsoe, who, with his wife Barbara, live in Midland, Texas, and David Bledsoe, who, with his wife Carissa, live in Midland, Texas. Bob married Benny Pennell in 1984. They were quite the pair. That marriage brought another son into the family. Heath Pennell and his wife Allison live in Greenville, South Carolina. Delfino Contreras Acosta, 11/14/2023. Delfino Contreras Acosta, age 63, of Midland, Texas, passed away on Tuesday, November 14, 2023. Delfino was born in Hidalgo, Mexico. The family will receive friends for visitation Monday, November 20, 2023, from 4 o'clock p.m. to 8 o'clock p.m. at Ellis Rest Haven Funeral Home and Memorial Park, 4616 North Big Spring Street. The rosary will be recited at 7 p.m. A funeral mass will be held Tuesday, November 21, 2023, at 10 o'clock a.m. at Our Lady of Guadalupe Catholic Church, 1401 Garden Lane. Interment will be held at a later date in Mexico. Please visit lsfunerals.com to leave online condolences. Roy Edward Johnson, Sr., 1225-1941 to 1115-2023. Roy Edward Johnson, Sr. passed away November 15, 2023, at the age of 81. He was born on Christmas Day, 1941, in Beaumont, Texas, to Dan and Mabel Durant Johnson, and was the eldest of six children. Roy is preceded in death by his parents, Dan and Mabel Johnson, son Wendell Ray Johnson, and nephew Ben Anthony Foster, Jr. Left to cherish his memories are his children, Roy Johnson, Jr., Edward Johnson, Jacqueline Taylor, Michael, Tish Wallace, Natius Davis, Schumar, and Jalissa Blaylark. Special daughter, Ariana Blaylark, and special son, Jaden Tryon. His beloved siblings, James Mary Johnson, Danelle Tatum, Robert Vivian Johnson, Vivian Ben Foster, and Amy Jason Walker, as well as a host of grandchildren, great-grandchildren, nieces, nephews, and other family and beloved friends. Services are entrusted to Mayberry Funeral Home. A viewing, 2 to 6 p.m., and wake, 6 to 8 p.m., will be held on Monday, November 20th, 2023, in the Hope Chapel at Mayberry Funeral Home. A celebration of life service, 10 a.m., will be held on Tuesday, November 21st, 2023, at Northside Church of Christ. UTPB continues special football season with first playoff game. This has truly been a historical season for the relatively young football program at the University of Texas Permian Basin. UTPB has fielded a football team since 2016, and this year it won a Lone Star Conference championship and claimed a spot in the NCAA Division II playoffs. The Falcons' first-round playoff game takes place against Bemidji State at 1 p.m. Saturday at Astound Broadband Stadium in Midland. Quote, saying this season is special feels like an understatement, end quote, Director of Athletics Todd Dooley stated. Quote, it's hard to put into words what this season means for not only our football program and the athletic department, but the university as a whole. Winning the conference title, making the NCAA playoffs, and hosting a first-round playoff game elevates our profile nationally, and the season isn't over. College football unifies communities and regions. People rally around their football team's successes. We want to bring pride to the Permian Basin. We want to see our communities come together to cheer on their hometown college football team, end quote. UTPB's season included blowouts, close games, and wins over traditional powers like West Texas A&M, 41-40 in overtime in Midland, and Texas A&M Kingsville. Dooley stated the signature win on the road versus Angelo State, quote, defined our season, end quote. Quote, in so many ways, winning that game solidified our position in both the Lone Star and nationally, end quote, Dooley stated. Quote, prior to that game, we ranked number 25 in one poll and received votes in another. After beating Angelo State, we received a ranking in both polls and cracked the top 10 in our region, end quote. Dooley said there were high expectations coming into the season, but the outcome has, quote, exceeded expectations, end quote. Dooley was complimentary of the, quote, quiet confidence, end quote, and, quote, calmness, end quote, that first-year head coach Chris McCullough possesses and, quote, flows to the rest of the team, end quote. UTPB's website shows McCullough was named to the American Football Coaches Association 35 Under 35 Coaches Leadership Institute, recognizing him as one of the best young coaches in the game of football. Quote, he was the only Division II coach selected to the list that included coaches from Michigan, Texas, Auburn, Tennessee, and the NFL Seattle Seahawks, among others, end quote, the site states. Quote, I tell people Chris is an old soul, end quote, Dooley stated. Quote, he's wiser than his years. Early in the search process, when Scott Farmer, the previous UTPB AD, and I were talking to potential candidates, I asked Scott to talk to Chris and give me his take. I told Scott there's something special about Chris, and I can't put my finger on it. Quote, Scott has been in intercollegiate athletics a long time. I expected him to call me back and label this something special. When Scott and I discussed Chris, he said, you're right, there's definitely something special about him. I don't know what it is either. Quote, Chris possesses a terrific football mind. He dissects the opposing team and exposes their weaknesses in a way few coaches can. His ability to scheme and prepare for games flows straight into the team. The saying goes, preparation gives you confidence to execute the game plan. Chris embodies that saying, end quote. The Falcons are 10-1 this season under McCullough. On Saturday, they have the opportunity to add more superlatives to the greatest season in UTPB's relatively young history. Rig count rises for first time in 3 weeks. Drilling activity increased for the first time as the rig count appears to have reached a plateau. Oilfield service firm Baker Hughes said the U.S. rig count it has issued weekly since 1944 rose for the first time in 3 weeks, adding 2 rigs for 618 rigs at work nationwide. That's 164 rigs, or about 21% of the 782 rigs active across the U.S. a year ago. The number of rigs drilling for crude oil jumped 6 rigs, the biggest increase since February, to 500 rigs, still 123 below the 623 counted last year. The number of rigs seeking natural gas fell to its lowest level since early September, dropping 4 rigs to 114 rigs, 43 fewer than the 117 seen last year. Texas was unchanged at 302 rigs, down 73 rigs from 375 rigs active statewide last November. New Mexico added 2 rigs to 107. Colorado 2, Louisiana 1, and North Dakota 2 joined New Mexico as producing states to see increases. Ohio 1 and Utah 1 were the only producing states to see declines. The Permian Basin added 1 rig for 311 rigs in the region, 38 fewer than the 349 reported last year. Lee County, New Mexico, remains the most active county in the Permian Basin, but barely, as it lost 3 rigs, the biggest decline among Permian counties, to 53 rigs. Eddy County, New Mexico, posted the biggest gain among Permian counties, jumping 4 rigs to 51. Martin County reported 40 rigs, down 1 for the week. Reeves County added 1 rig for 31. Midland County gained rigs for a second week, adding 1 rig for 25 at work within county lines. Loving County had 21 rigs, down 1. Ward County likewise lost 1 rig for 12, while Upton County gained 2 rigs for 11. Enverus Foundations, part of the Energy Focus software as a service firm Enverus, said its U.S. rig count reached 690 during the week ended November 15th, down 13 rigs from the previous week's peak. The count is up 13 rigs, or 2%, in the last month, but down 179, or 21%, year over year. Among major plays in the last week, the Permian lost 7 rigs for a total of 297, and the Williston Basin slid by 3 to 34. Both the Anadarko Basin and DJ Basin dropped 1 rig for totals of 51 and 18. Bucking the weekly trend, the Gulf Coast rose 5 rigs to 84, and Appalachia increased by 2 to 41. What's up with Midland? Cafe at the Gardens, Thursday night dinner and live music, November 30th. Centennial Park, Rise and Run, Saturday. Christmas tree lighting, November 28th. Colorado Street, Downtown Farmers Market, new location, every Saturday. Eccentric Brewing Company, open mic and local showcase, November 25th. The Ector Theater, Riff Raff, November 22nd. Horseshoe, Gifty Grinchmas, Saturday. Silver Spur Trade Show, Saturday and Sunday. I-20 Wildlife Preserve, Texas Recycles Day at Nature Centers, Saturday, November 24th through 25th. La Hacienda, Los Tigres del Norte, November 24th. Midland Animal Control, Rescue Runners, Saturday. Midland Beer Garden, Massa Pop-Up, and Adoption Event, Saturday. Midland Community Theater, The Sound of Music, Saturday through Sunday, November 24th through 25th, December 1st through 2nd, 8th through 9th, 15th through 16th. The Tailgate, Basin Brunch, Saturday, Family Fun Day every Sunday, Tall City Brewing Company, Geeks Who Drink Trivia every Tuesday, Tall City Beer Run every Thursday, Anniversary Party, Saturday. Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center, Paw Patrol Live, Heroes Unite, Saturday and Sunday. A Very Merry Mojo Christmas Concert, November 28th. UTPB Symphonic Winds Concert, November 30th. The Waystone Small Biz, Saturday, November 25th. Live Music, November 25th. West Texas Food Bank Turkey Trot, Saturday. crude prices slump for fourth week. Hopes that members of the Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries and allied nations would step in to reverse the recent plunge in oil prices were not enough to save prices from a fourth consecutive weekly loss. West Texas Intermediate on the New York Mercantile Exchange jumped $2.99, or 4.1% Friday, but could not overcome 2 days of steep declines, including $1.60 on Wednesday and $3.76 on Thursday. WTI ended the week at $75.89, down 1.7% from $77.17 at last Friday's close. The posted price closed at $72.37, according to Plains All American. Despite jumping 16.4 cents to open the trading week, natural gas futures on the NYMEX ended the week below $3 per MCF. Futures skidded 13 cents Thursday and another 10 cents Friday to close the week at $2.96 per MCF, down from $3.033 at last Friday's close. Jesse Jones, head of North America Upstream at Energy Aspects, told those attending Hart Energy's executive oil conference he sees several factors placing downward pressure on prices. One factor is a slowing of China's gross domestic product, as well as Chinese factories reducing runs next year. Global demand is also slowing and expected to continue slowing next year, though that has already been priced into the market. Quote, for the first time, we're going into the year end with interest rates this high, and that impacts those who need to hold crude and is one thing pushing down prices, end quote. He explained higher interest rates make holding crude in storage more expensive. The Israel-Hamas war has yet to impact global supplies, and precautionary shutdowns as the war began had minimal impact, Jones said. He predicted the conflict will be protracted and intense, and the risk of damage to oil and natural gas infrastructure will persist. Quote, there are geopolitical risks around a widening of the conflict, end quote, he noted. Jones foresees limited upside from the lifting of sanctions against Venezuela. That's due in part because Venezuela's oil and natural gas infrastructure is in need of repair, and in part because of the possibility sanctions could be snapped back, especially since Venezuelan President Maduro has already broken promises made to secure sanctions relief. His company expects oil stocks to build in the first quarter of 2024. Supply growth from non-OPEC producers will be led by the U.S., Brazil, and Guyana, quote, but lag refinery demand growth, keeping a deficit in the 2024 balance, end quote. Energy Aspects forecasts non-OPEC supply to grow 1.2 million barrels per day in 2024. But even though exploration and production spending has reached levels seen in 2007-2008, he said current investment is not enough to account for demanded growth. He estimated 35 million barrels per day will need to be replaced between now and 2040. To do so will require $80 to $90 oil prices. The Middle East can fill some of that gap largely through extension drilling, he said. Russia could initially help, but the loss of U.S. technology amid Russia's invasion of Ukraine will catch up with them, Jones said. Quote, U.S. shale will be required to step up, end quote, he said.
Viper Energy converts to Delaware Corporation. The story was written by Miller McEwen, oil editor. Viper Energy Partners, formed by Diamondback Energy to own and acquire mineral and royalty interests, has filed with the Delaware Secretary of State to convert from a Delaware limited partnership into a Delaware corporation. The conversion became effective November 13th, converting Viper Energy Partners LP to Viper Energy Incorporated. Quote, the conversion from a partnership to a corporation allows Viper access to a broader investor universe, including more trading liquidity, while granting our now stockholders more governance rights. This conversion is a big win for Viper and its stockholders, Kays Von Hoff, President and Chief Financial Officer of Diamondback Energy, told a reported Telegram by email. Von Hoff, who currently serves as president of both Viper and Diamondback, was at the same time appointed to Viper's board of directors. Quote, "We are positioning Viper to continue to grow the business and fully highlight the advantaged nature of mineral ownership. There are many structural advantages to mineral ownership beyond cost-free royalties, with one particular example being the almost $100 million lease bonus Viper received this quarter, which will allow for the future development of deeper zones and certain acreage in the Midland Basin," stated Travis Stice, Chief Executive Officer of Viper's general partner, in announcing the conversion as well as Viper's quarterly results. At the effective time of the conversion, Diamondback will beneficially own 56% of the outstanding shares of common stock of Viper Energy Incorporated, the same equity ownership percentage as immediately prior to the conversion. As a result, Viper Energy Incorporated will be a controlled company within the meaning of the corporate governance standards of NASDAQ Stock Market LLC, and will thereby qualify for certain exemptions from the NASDAQ corporate governance rules. Because Viper is already treated as a corporation for U.S. federal income tax purposes, Viper expects that the conversion will not affect the successor entity's status as a corporation for U.S. federal income tax purposes or materially impact the U.S. federal income tax treatment of Viper's current public common unit holders. Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram's oil report for Saturday, November 18th. To thrive, oilfield service firms must respond to clients' needs. The story was written by Mella McEwen, oil editor. Energy service companies have watched oilfield activity decline as oil and gas operators continue their focus on capital discipline. Quote, "Spending is still breaking $45 billion in the Permian Basin in 2023, Justin Mayorga, Vice President, Supply Chain Research at Rystad Energy, told his audience at Hart Energy's Executive Oil Conference. "Spending continues in completions, production, chemicals, drilling, water management, and diagnostics. Continued gains in drilling efficiencies have resulted in drilling speeds surging from 858 RPM in 2019 to 1,100 RPM this year, while days drilling fell from 24 to 20. At the same time, oil and natural gas output has reached record levels. Quote, "As service companies, how do you move forward?" he asked. "A continued focus on performance," he answered. "Maximize equipment and learn to do more with less," Mayorga continued. Quote, "That's been the mantra, and it won't change," end quote. Rystad forecasts the rig count will rise by 60 to 70 rigs next year. Pressure pumpers have had what he called phenomenal performance, pumping 8 million pounds of proppant per day. Automation, nonstop pumping, and other technologies unthought of previously are now in use, Mayorga added. Drilling and frack fleets will continue their march toward electrification and use of field gas, pushing out diesel, he said. Service companies will have to help producers address the challenges of managing the soaring volumes of produced water, and midstream companies will have to help move water to new areas. Mayorga said that will be especially vital if the Railroad Commission lowers volume and pressure rates on injection wells to address seismicity, particularly in response to significant earthquakes like the recent 5.2 magnitude quake near Mentone. Quote, "As we continue to see the E&P sector hold off on spending and spending levels remain flat, find advantages in responding to E&P needs like improving efficiencies, offering real-time data helps monitor equipment and maximize equipment," he advised. Shepherd Safety, unveils new monitoring technology. The story was written by Mella McEwen, oil editor. As oil and gas operators seek technology to detect emissions and pinpoint leaks, one company has launched technology that goes further. Midland-based Shepherd Safety Systems has introduced what it called a digital safety hub in flyers at its booth at last month's Permian Basin International Oil Show. Formally, the company has named the technology Intrinsically Safe Continuous Monitoring. The company had recently returned from Colorado State University's Technical Center, where, quote, "We did quite a bit of testing and were excited about the results," Seth Long, Shepherd's chief executive officer, told the Reporter Telegram in a telephone interview. He said the new technology will give Shepherd's clients the ability to get more granular in their monitoring. What sets the technology apart is the sensor's positioning inside the fence line and, quote, "directly at the source where you have vessels or compressors," Long said. These sensors also offer pinpoint accuracy with detailed component-level data. They are also equipped with redundant communication systems, cell, satellite, and Wi-Fi, that seamlessly integrates into clients' SCADA systems. It gives the operators insight into what's going on with their equipment, letting them differentiate between a valve leak that needs to be addressed quickly and a puff of gas. As important is the technology's ability to detect toxic gases, including hydrogen sulfide, sulfur dioxide, and lower explosive limit gases. That extends to crew members with Shepherd's wearable personal monitor. Clients will have all the information they need for operations, what personnel they need, what's needed for crews to work safely, Long said. That makes it more accessible to smaller operators, helping them keep their equipment in top form and protecting their crews. Quote, "We're excited about having a proactive system that lets operators make decisions now that gives them data that's actionable," he said. He sees Shepherd in partnership with its clients. Quote, "We're not just selling a product, we're a service company. We rent the equipment, help establish baselines, tie it into their equipment, and continuously monitor for our operators," end quote. The equipment was developed in-house and built specifically for the challenges seen today, Long said. Quote, "I'm a firm believer people in the industry want to do better. They want to meet emissions targets. The heart of this industry is protecting the environment so it will do what it needs to be done. I believe the industry has gone above and beyond in its efforts," Long said.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.